Flynn. I'm a master healer who holds space for any earthling as they reunite body and soul. I am a bridge for relationships between all species so that the heart bond becomes stronger, deeper, and more loving. I serve in the roles of animal communicator, medium, and medical intuitive, and I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support all earthlings in their recovery from past trauma. I'm certified as a Reiki master teacher and as a canine massage therapist. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. In full transparency, the title of this podcast, quote, "One Fight Away from the Kids' Table," is my rephrasing of a cocktail napkin that I have on my refrigerator door, like I do several others, and mostly because they make me laugh. Usually with a snarky sense of humor, because that's the kind that I like the most. The actual napkin is, quote, "one drink away from being sent to the kids' table," which I quite like. It is true for me, I have to say, that being at the kids' table, especially when my sons were growing up and we had dinner together with my extended family, was a chance to get to talk with my nieces and nephews and find out what was going on in their lives. And occasionally, the kids in the family were small enough to need a bit of help during dinner, like cutting up food or pouring a glassful of usually milk. And I would never mind being at that table and performing that task. Sometimes, if I was lucky, it meant that I didn't have to do the dishes or clear the table. I didn't mind about serving up dessert because that felt fun and creative to me, even if it was our standard homemade holiday cookies, peppermint ice cream, and hot fudge. And as the kids grew, of course, my nieces and nephews, they were less welcoming to an older aunt who might just tattle, or so they thought, to their parents slash her siblings about their conversation and share their secrets that, well, they'd just as soon keep to themselves. I'd like to think that they saw me as trustworthy, if only because, as we all grew older, the distance between my siblings and I grew more distant, which was never more evident than at the holidays. And perhaps for you as well, gentle listener, this emotional withdrawal was done out of necessity, or maybe just because it's how you were raised or the path that your life took away from theirs. And you discovered that these relationships, biological though they may be, are filled with toxicity that has grown more dense over the years. And to quote Shakespeare, therein lies the rub. To prep for this podcast, I took to the interwebs to get a sampling of quotes about families, and here they are. Quote, "You must remember, family is often born of blood, but it doesn't depend upon blood, nor is it exclusive of friendship. Family members can be your best friends, you know, and best friends, whether or not they are related to you, can be your family." That's from Trenton Lee Stewart. This next one of my favorites, is from Richard Bach. Quote, "The bond that links your true family is not one of blood, but of respect and joy in each other's life. Rarely do members of one family grow up under the same roof." Another one, a favorite one of mine, from a satirist, I would say probably of the, I'm terrible with this, like maybe 60s through the 80s. Maybe Irma Bombeck, one of my mom's favorites. Her quote is, "Family, the ties that bind and gag," which takes on an interesting second meaning, doesn't it? This next one is also great. Quote, "A family can be the bane of one's existence. A family can also be most of the meaning of one's existence. I don't know whether my family is bane or meaning, but they have surely gone away and left a large hole in my heart." That one is from Carrie Hulme, H-U-L-M-E. This last one I save for last because I probably like it the most. Quote, "One situation, maybe one alone, could drive me to murder. Family life, togetherness." And that one is from Patricia Highsmith. And let's be clear. I think there's a difference between the 20% friction. Remember we talked about the 80%, 20% in relationships last podcast? This 20% friction that may be part of any relationship that does crop up in families pretty naturally, And fingers crossed, mellows over time because there have been no deep wounds that are still in the process of healing. There's a difference between two sisters getting snarky with each other in the kitchen because as the one, me, told the older sister, it's like we're still in high school and you think you're still in charge just because you're older. And yep, those 20% of set roles in a family may be set in cement, and yet you get to choose how much or how little you want to incorporate those roles into the times in which you are interacting with your family. I would honestly love to be able to tell people, I yearn to tell people this, just love your family and try to repair those relationships no matter how badly they were damaged. That's not what's important, how you were traumatized or they had been traumatized and how that repentance that makes forgiveness more balanced never comes. It's just the family staying together, sticking together, you know, thick and thin, blood and water and all that jazz. Would that I had a magic wand. Maybe that's what I would set as my intention before waving the wand about with the well-known abracadabra, whose etymology lies in the Hebrew language, ebra kadabri, meaning I will create as I speak, i.e. that the act of speech will magically create new realities. This certainly seems to resonate with how I view spelling and that it's the resonance of the sound, along with the meaning in the language of energy that fulfills the communion pact between the animals on earth, except of course the human one, and you might have even begun to feel with my attempt to placate everyone a familiarity with someone in your family during the holidays or maybe year round. Maybe it's you, maybe it's your mom, your dad, your cousin, your ex-brother-in-law. Oh yes, the places that these statements come from might surprise you. Then again, they might not. It could be a good friend or a favorite teacher that you touch base with once a year. Really, the list is endless with these potential angels in disguise. And I say potential because it all comes down to your choice and what feels best to you. Another reason why I like the kids' table is that the disagreements, I don't think we can even call them arguments, are rarely serious and may be more deeply felt, actually, than the ones at the adult table in the moment. Such as the fact that Aunt Rosie's cranberry sauce did not come from a can, she made it on the stove and you watched her. Or that green bean casserole is absolutely the last dish you take with you to life on a desert island, and that stuffing is good only if it's got a crust on it. That last one's mine. It's just that kids seem to let these issues come to a boil, unheeded, and yet they manage to put the wooden spoon over the top of the pan to avoid it boiling over, so that it stays contained in the pot and doesn't harm anyone else. Sure, they might let loose sometimes with a heck of a lot of steam and maybe a bit of splashing over with tears. And yet, when it's done with this issue, it's rare that kids don't move past the temporary trauma of familial and otherwise disagreements. I'm not even sure if we can call them fights, as I said, and for sure not in the way that adults can get into them. We can't be bothered sometimes to turn down the heat. It's as if we know that the smell from burned milk or egg on a stovetop lingers and causes the whole atmosphere of a kitchen, the heart of a home, to sour, and so there. Because I feel bad, and I felt bad for so long inside this group, this family, this biological soul contract, fixed construct, that I simply have to let everyone know how I feel. And I will keep telling everyone how I feel, no matter the consequences, because when I'm with the people who I perceive harmed me, I can't ignore how my body feels. It feels ugly inside, and so I feel ugly outside. It feels squished inside, and so I feel squished and appear maybe ill at ease outside. Or maybe you would never know any of this at all, because the edges of my mouth have been super glued upward in a smile since I left my house or welcomed you into mine. You would never know the fatigue my body feels, because that's just not how it's done in my family, or how I was raised, or maybe how I turned out. It's the consistent fighting or ostracizing or blaming or being the scapegoat in the family that gets mighty old. And here's the thing, you get to choose. You get to choose which table you want to sit at. You get to choose to not take anything your family of origin says seriously or wonder why you turned out exactly the same or completely different. You get to choose whether the soul theft from an older relative or a sibling is too great and your body with its PTS gives you all the signals and more to get the heck out of Dodge or never to go in the first place. You get to choose to reclaim that soul peace and know that in this space and where you are right now is not the space where you were when you were 3 or 4 or 7 or 11. You get to choose. You get to choose to speak about things that are important to you in a sincere effort to share these with your siblings and parents based on an eternal hope that you might deepen the well of your connection with them as is always possible on this planet and in this experience, so that you might become friends, actual friends, and while still using the more or less assigned roles within your family, the support and the love you receive from them going forward and they from you gets everybody closer to an actualized human experience. And you get to choose to realize that the arguments and the fights and the lack of the resonance with your family cost too much and that you just as rather sit at the kids' table, where the purity of soul makes the moment all the more fleeting and less important. You get to choose. And at least that's how the animals see it. Thanks for listening today. Leave a review and be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. To schedule, go online to lizanneflynn.com. Please come and find me on social media, Facebook, X, Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I encourage you to sign up for my quarterly newsletter on my website, where I also post notices for upcoming events, the starting date of courses in the Animal's Eye View Academy, and online psychic fairs. The episodes of this podcast are available on my YouTube channel, complete with subtitles. You'll find that link in my podcast footer, and be sure to subscribe. This has been the Animal's Eye View Podcast. I'll see you next time.